AM 640.
814, and Eric Margolis joins us from ericmargolis.com, as he does every Monday, to look at foreign affairs. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, John.
You know, I got to ask right out of the chute, because I heard a lot of serious and ominous tones struck on a weekend. Everybody sort of wrapped up in the euphoria of the Super Bowl and this distraction. But in the Middle East, there's talk of an imminent strike by Israel on Iran's nuclear facilities. We're talking any day now, was the impression I was getting. And for his part, our own Foreign Affairs Minister, John Baird, opined on that, and we'll credit CTV for this clip. Listen to John Baird, Eric.
Obviously, you can understand why the Jewish people, why Israel would take him seriously. I mean, Hitler wrote Mein Kampf more than a decade before he became Chancellor of Germany, and they take these issues pretty seriously here. We have an incredible responsibility to take every single diplomatic effort necessary. The sanctions that Canada and other countries have put in place are beginning to have a real effect, not just on oil, but on banking. And now is the time to redouble our efforts diplomatically, to redouble our efforts on those sanctions.
All right, he's talking diplomatically. I've heard that it might be a shooting war. Eric, what do you hear? I mean, what's the prospects of this turning into some kind of a shooting war in the Middle East?
Well, the danger is certainly rising, John. The Israel is giving us mixed messages on what some of its officials are saying. You know, attack is imminent. Others are saying, like the defense minister, no, nothing's going to happen anytime soon. Iran is years away from having a nuclear weapon. U.S. intelligence is saying, no, Iran does not have nuclear weapons and is not working on nuclear weapons, a position more or less backed by the U.N., whereas some of the members of the U.N. government, like the neocon U.N. ambassador, are fulminating and calling for war. It's a very bizarre and dangerous situation.
All right. We're left to believe that the sanctions might actually work there, except the Chinese and the Russians, you know, are pals with Iran. I don't know, you know, how do these people work? What's the geostrategic interest here? Because even in Syria now, there was a plan by the Arab Peace League, or the Arab League, rather, to evoke peace. And they basically shut that down, the Russians and the Chinese, because they want to see what? Assad stay in power? That's madness.
That's right. They don't agree with the Western-led UN, because the UN is a foreign policy arm of the United States government most of the time. They don't agree with it coming in and overthrowing governments. It makes the rulers of China and Russia very, very nervous. So they're bitterly opposed to it. And, you know, all the U.S. UN Ambassador Rice said was disgusting and deplorable, the fact that China and Russia dared veto demands to oust the Syrian government. Well, over the years, how many hundreds of vetoes has the U.S. cast to defend Israel from sanctions and censure? So there's a lot of hypocrisy flying around.
But wait a minute, Eric, except that Israel wasn't massacring its own people en masse or anybody else en masse the same way the Syrians are.
I remember in Gaza, you know, a couple of years back where the Israelis were shelling Gaza, killing a lot of people, invading.
You don't think they were provoked at the time?
Well, everybody's provoked in these areas.
These are massacres of innocent civilians who are protesting their government in Syria. A bit different, isn't it?
No, it's more complicated than that, John. That's what the Western media is telling us and giving a very dishonest reporting on the area. There is a concerted Western campaign to overthrow the Syrian government. I have no affection for the Assad regime. It's brutal. It's a dictatorship and a police state. But Western, U.S., Israeli, Saudi Arabian, French-backed groups are being armed and put together in Lebanon and Jordan, sent into Syria to overthrow the government. This is the latest campaign in the Arab Spring counter-revolution, trying to get rid of the last Arab regime, which is really resisting Western policies, dictates.
So who does the Arab League represent then? They want Assad gone as well and have a plan in place. So you're saying they're also betraying their own people?
They are really a group without any credibility whatsoever. They're all fighting with each other in the Arab League. The current effort is being led by Qatar, which is firmly aligned with the U.S. and trying to overthrow the Syrian government. Nobody has what clean hands in this area. So you have armed groups who are being promoted by the West to overthrow the government. You have people who hate the government on their own, the Sunni majority in Syria, who are rebelling. But you have a lot of Syrians who still back the Assad regime, including Christians and Shia. So it's a very complex situation, and the danger is that if Syria implodes, and it looks like it's headed that way, could end up like another Iraq with a horrible, bloody civil war.
All right. Well, by the way, you also mentioned in your current piece at ericmargulies.com that the Afghan war is winding down. Obama's trying to bring some troops home and, undo what George Bush brought into being. But exactly, I don't follow the logic, because Obama actually increased the troop strength there initially. I guess it must be a presidential year. And wasn't this slated to be the good war, or cited by him to be the good war?
Yes.
So what's going on with him?
Well, he's come to realize that it's not the good war, and that the U.S. is not going to win this war, as I have been saying, a lonely voice for a long time. The original Obama was very naive in affairs, military and strategic. Tried to do this sort of troop surge advocated by the Republicans to try and beat down the Taliban and crush it. That failed. Another 33,000 troops were sent. Didn't work. The war is still stalemate, or the U.S. and its allies are on the defensive. The country is falling apart. So finally, Obama's taken the decision to pull out. They're going to pull out. They're down. They're going to be down to 66,000 troops by the end of this year, and by mid-next year, supposedly all U.S. combat troops are going to be out, as was done in Iraq. If you can't beat them, forget them. That's the new policy.
So it all goes for naught. Everything, all the blood and treasure that we spilled as well, will go for naught.
That's correct. A complete waste of lives, time, money. The Afghanistan is ravaged. The human conditions there are terrible. There are millions of refugees. People are starving there now. It's been a complete loss and a complete fiasco. Canada has been very intemperate in its policy. It really didn't understand what was going on in Afghanistan, and it is well done to leave this area to its own devices.
All right, and so at the end of the day, if that's the net effect, that we just come away and cut our losses, some people actually agree with that assessment. Why should we continue to prop up people who don't want us there anyway? And, whether or not, the Taliban goes back in there and it's a medieval type of tyrannical rule, Eric, that's not our business. We shouldn't concern ourselves with that.
Well, it's just like Saudi Arabia, and we love the Saudis and worship their money. So who cares about the Taliban? And it's cost us $20 billion so far, a lot of money for a small country.
I gotcha. Hey, listen, Eric, it's always provocative. We'll talk again next Monday.
Cheers, John.
You got Eric Margulies from ericmargulies.com. Stand by, a trivia challenge question. See if you can pick up some